Moikka! Welcome to Mastering Finland. This podcast shares stories of foreigners in Finland and provides practical tips and learning opportunities for all. Go ahead, join our community and enjoy listening to this episode. For more information, check our website masteringfinland.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Mastering Finland. This is Matt. Today we have Lucia Hellerhoff, a flute player. I don't ever know what the correct term is.
Oh, me neither. It's like it's like puhelisti in Finnish.
Originally from Munich, Germany, now living in Pori, where I also live, and a member of the Pori Sinfonietta, which is the Pori Symphony Orchestra. So, welcome, Lucia.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really nice to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. First of all, let's get into your background. So you're a professional musician from Germany. How long have you been playing music?
Oh my God, how long has it been? So I counted 27 years, if you count from the point that I started playing the recorder when I was 5. That happened that my mom, she's a hobby clarinet player, and she used to play in an amateur orchestra. And sometimes when we didn't have a babysitter, she would just bring me to the rehearsals and she would make me sit in the back of the hall. And I would draw something and like just hang there while the orchestra was rehearsing. And according to my mom, I then said that I want to play the flute. So the flute which I saw in the orchestra, which is the same instrument with what I play now. But at the time we lived in northern Germany still, and we were right in the middle of nowhere, so there was not really music school nearby, and also I was way too small still to learn the flute I wanted to learn. So my mom thought that, okay, she's gonna teach me a little bit of recorder, that can't be bad, that will probably prepare somewhat for the flute then, and yeah, that's what we did. That's how it started.
Okay.
But my mom and me, like being in a teacher-student relationship, was a big fail. The recorder flew through the house like crazy, the poor instrument.
Lots of people start with a recorder or get exposed to a recorder because they do that in the elementary schools in the States. I remember learning the recorder, and there's always these jokes that people who don't go into music are just like, why did we even bother with that? Like, that was such a... But you know, it's an easy, cheap instrument too. It does teach you the fundamentals of a woodwind instrument.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, many of the fingerings are almost exactly the same on the recorder as on the flute, what I play nowadays. So it definitely helps. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you mentioned that your mom plays clarinet. So I guess in a way, you could say that the music was in your blood and it kind of was introduced to you through your family.
Yes, definitely. Although I'm the first one to do it professionally, both my parents really love music. My mom plays the clarinet and the piano, but really on an amateur level. And my dad plays also the piano and the guitar. And he loves music, even though he can't really read the music notes itself.
Yeah.
He like tries to learn some melodies from some pieces he has heard from Debussy or Ravel, and he just tries to imitate them on the piano because he's so enthusiastic about that. it's quite cute.
That's cool. Like, he just plays by ear. Actually, I first started with clarinet myself when I was in like fourth grade or something, and my grandparents got, as a gift, they gave us a digital piano.
Okay.
And I remember that I was learning to read music in school, and then I would sit down and I would do the same thing. Like, I would figure out how to play something on the piano based on just like hearing it. I used to like Jurassic Park theme and things and some of the Beethoven like melodies and stuff like that. So, and I even still do that today with we got a couple of these little toy pianos for my son, and I sit down and I figure out, it's like, oh, here's Ode to Joy. I still remember how to play this. And he's only like not even 1 and a half yet, and he has no interest. He likes to hit the button that plays the whole song, yeah. So that he doesn't have to actually do anything.
Oh, I wish I could do that sometimes at work.
hopefully I'll have an interest in the future. But did you decide that you wanted to play the flute because, like, when you were seeing at the rehearsals, you were just like, I'm interested in that. Like, what was it that drew you to the flute instead of, for instance, the clarinet, like your mom was playing?
So I think it was two things. Like, first of all, I was like 4 to 5 at that time. And I think that that's maybe a little bit the kind of, that's maybe stereotypical now, but that's like the princess age where like everything shiny and like a high pitch, you kind of associate with that. And then my mom, they played L'Arnisien from Bizet in that period. And there's lots of beautiful flute solos in that piece. So it was probably a piece where the flute was really shining and standing out against the rest of the orchestra, maybe sometimes. So, and then my mom always tells that also the girl, she was quite young, maybe teenager almost, who played the flute at that time in this amateur orchestra, that she was this really good looking, she had apparently long red hair and like was a good player and probably for me some kind of impressive person as a child.
Yeah.
So I picked that one.
Okay. So how did you end up here in Finland then?
So it went like that. I studied in Munich. And of course, in music university, there is always lots of foreigners. So in Munich, I had a Finnish boyfriend at the time. And before I got to know him, I didn't really know anything about Finland, which is from this point of view, quite embarrassing to say. Finland was kind of like blind spot in my brain. Somehow it's really embarrassing. Like, I never questioned why is sauna called Finnish sauna. It was just Finnish sauna. I never thought about the actual fact that it came from Finland and these kind of things. Like, I had no clue about the whole country, basically. And then I got to know him and through him, Finland. And then at the end of my studies, I decided that I will now focus to do applications for jobs in Germany or Finland, so his home country or mine. And the first application I wanted to do, it's like you apply and then you get invited for an audition in the classical music. And that was Tampere, what I wanted to do. And I was preparing for that audition, but then I ended up in the hospital 1 week before the audition because they had to remove my appendix.
Oh my goodness.
And so I couldn't do that audition. And I was quite disappointed because I had practiced a lot for that one. And so like after I recovered from that one, then I checked and I was like, maybe there's something else in Finland. And suddenly this Pori came out of nowhere. It was like Pori Sinfonietta searches principal flute, and I checked the program, the pieces they required, and it was almost the same program as they had asked in Tampere. So I decided that, hey, that's what I'm going to go for. And then I did the audition, and then something what was completely new to me happened, that I became second in the audition. But I had a so-called approved audition, which is something we don't know in Germany. Like in Germany, it's like one person wins, that person gets the job and that's it. Mm-hmm. But apparently in Finland and also Sweden, they have this system that they give a approved audition to more than one person. And sometimes I heard from Sweden that they even try different musicians for the same position after the audition, and then from them they choose which one would suit the best to their orchestra.
Okay.
So interesting. What happened with me then, it's quite a good system, I have to say, because playing an audition is so different from what you actually have to do in the orchestra work. Like if you get to, if you click with your colleagues, if you can adapt to your colleagues, if you can follow what the conductor is asking from you, that's all things which you can't see in an audition situation. So it kind of makes sense that they try the people in the actual work situation before they decide who they take. And for me, it happened like that, that first they tried the one who got first in my audition. Mm-hmm. Then, unfortunately, she didn't pass her trial for whatever reason. I don't know. And then they re-invited me back to Pori, and that's how I came here. And then I got the job.
Okay.
Long story.
Well, that's great. Well, and I know that you also studied in Paris before.
Yes. Yeah. I did an Erasmus exchange to Paris.
Okay.
Or basically, it was not an exchange. The other girl who studied in Paris went to London, and I could have her study spot in Paris.
Okay.
So that was really nice experience for me. I learned a lot in Paris. They have like fantastic flute teachers there.
Great.
Like somehow, someone said to me, yeah, you know, in Germany, in every city, you have maybe one or two great flute teachers. And in Paris, they have in each arrondissement, you know, the parts of the city, mm-hmm. in Paris, in each arrondissement, they have like the same amount of flute teachers there who are just fabulous. Like it's really a city packed with good musicians. That was really nice and inspiring.
That's great. So now you've been living in Finland since, what, about 5 years? You moved to the beginning of 2017?
Yes, in January 2017. Exactly in the year that Finland turned 100.
Yeah, yeah.
I always joke that Finland made it 100 years through time without me. Then they needed me.
I always joke that, you know, how Finland keeps getting the happiest country in the world.
Yes, yes.
It's happened since I moved here. It's like, oh, you had me for a year. Now you're the happiest country. And then it keeps going.
Yes, yes.
It's like, you're welcome, Finland.
Nice.
But yeah, so you've been here for about 5 years. And what has life in Finland been like compared to when you were living in Germany and in Paris?
Well, I think the first thing which comes to mind is that Finland is not as overcrowded as Germany or especially Paris. I mean, mm-hmm. after I came from Paris, Munich kind of seemed like a village to me. But now when I'm living in Pori and I go back to Munich, then somehow Munich seems like a huge city to me. So it's all about the perspective, I guess. But I like in Finland a lot that the ratio between nature and humans is just a little bit more healthy, maybe. Mm-hmm. If you can say so, then in Germany, I would say.
Yeah.
So people are more relaxed here because they have their own space to breathe and they don't have to battle against like having no space somehow. I can really feel that in how people act and in their general well-being, I guess.
Yeah. It's like it's more laid back. People
yeah,
take their
definitely.
Time with things, I think.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
I definitely can relate to that with the, you know, the fast-paced life that it was like for me in the U.S. Like coming here, everything just slowed down and it was great.
Yes, yes. It feels great, yes.
It's much better for your overall, you know, health and everything. Like you don't feel stressed about things and pressured about things as much.
And people are so polite here. It's like incredible that they really take time for you. It's like when you go to a shop and you have a question or whatever kind of like customer service. That's what I'm not used to from Germany. In Germany, it's almost like, hey, why do you bother me with your questions? And here in Finland, I really feel people are in general quite polite, and somehow they take time for you, which is really nice.
Another difference what I see between life in Finland or Finland and Germany is that I think Finland is a more social country. Like, Germany is a rich country, but anyway, sometimes you wonder where all that tax money goes. Like, infrastructure, schools, like, we have the worst digitalization process going on there in Germany. The schools are sometimes in a condition where you really think, like, what is happening here? And in Finland, I think I can see much more where the tax money goes in the kind of infrastructure, all kind of like kindergartens, all kind of, what you call it, like public facilities, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow it feels good to know that, okay, I pay my tax money for something and it's actually going to be used for something good. I have that impression here in Finland.
Yeah, it's definitely a different kind of lifestyle here, and in a good way.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it didn't really take long for me to kind of get used to it and start to adapt and really feel like made myself at home, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it has its challenges also. I mean, now we are in the winter time, of course, every foreigner is like somehow battling that a little bit, but there's a lot of good stuff going on here in Finland. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been with Pori Sinfonietta for 5 years now, and what has that experience been like? You know, as a principal flautist for the symphony.
So first of all, the orchestra job in general, like, I really like it because it's never 2 weeks the same. Like, every week almost changes the program, the pieces we play, the type of music we play. Of course, the biggest part is classical music, but we sometimes have like pop or jazz concerts also, where maybe a jazz or pop artist comes and we are kind of stepping into their genre with them. So it's quite diverse work situation. Also, the conductors change almost every week. So it's really refreshing as the orchestra job in general. In the beginning, when I started here in Pori, of course, I had the first thing to learn was the language. I spoke a little bit of Finnish at the time, but that's not what you need in the work situation. Like, that was not enough. And I remember that first thing I tried to learn was the numbers, because the symphonies have like lots of bars, like hundreds of bars, and you need to quickly jump to where the conductor asks you to start. So if the conductor would be like, okay, 8539, let's take from bar 539, then I would jump to bar 531, because I didn't know these shortenings of the numbers still. It was like,
it
was sometimes funny situations, because the whole orchestra started in one place and I started from the other place, which sounded completely ridiculous, but luckily my colleagues helped me and like took it with humor and really supported me in that way.
Yeah, that's great.
So that I remember for the start, it was really a kind of hard to like focus like so much on, okay, where are we and what does he want now, the conductor, and what we have to do next.
Yeah.
Yes. Then what is a little bit different maybe to working as a musician in Germany is the mentality. It comes through also in the working situations, because I feel that the Finnish people are very, very careful to give feedback to other people, and also they are not used to receive feedback so much as maybe in Germany.
Yeah.
I think that in Germany, musicians are more easily saying to each other, hey, could you play a little bit louder there? Or, hey, I think maybe we are a little bit dragging here, or whatever you want to correct. Mm-hmm. And Finnish people do that, yes, but in a much more careful and not direct way,
right,
which you have to get used to first, that they are very careful about it and they play more with this mentality of like live and let live. Can you say that in English?
Yeah, live and let live. Yeah,
yeah. I think that's a big part of the Finnish mentality somehow. In Germany, like, people are much more going into what might not be their own business. And there's a good side and a bad side to everything. But that was definitely a change for me.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Great. Now, we have to talk about Elvis. And not Elvis Presley. But Lucia has a cockatiel. Is that what he is?
It's a cockatiel. Elvis. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And he has his own Instagram.
Yes, he has his own Instagram. He's actually much more active on social media than myself, if you could say so. He's a cockatiel, which is the tiniest member of the cockatoo family, if you can say that like that. And I have him for 2 years now. And he's quite a cool guy. He has his own cool melodies. So he's also into music. And he definitely has his own mind. And I tamed him when he came to me. He was not tamed yet. So he was like still afraid of hands and everything. So now he's really chill with people, also strangers, like, whenever we have visitors, like, it's no problem. He will hop on their shoulder immediately or something. He's always like, he's a very socialized bird. And I do some trick training with him for fun and also that he doesn't get bored. And he can do like few tiny tricks. Like, one is called the drum. And another one is like, he does one of his favorite melodies on cue. Mm-hmm. And these kind of tiny things. And we always, me and my fiance, we always take him to road trips when we go somewhere else in Finland. He is used to like travel in the car. And he really likes that, actually. Whatever sound is like low and like a little bit like noisy, like the, what is it called in English? Berlin Imuri. What is it? The Dyson. What is Dyson?
A vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, he loves that. He will start singing immediately when I vacuum clean his room. He's like so somehow inspired by that. And same in the car. When we take him to the car, he just starts singing because he likes this engine sound so much. And it's funny, like, when I got him, I thought that hopefully he might like the flute, but he's not so much into the flute sound. Somehow, maybe it's too much on his own level of chirping, I don't know. But what he really likes is when my fiance, he's a double bass player. When he practices, Elvis goes nuts. He's like really into the low sound somehow.
Okay.
Yeah, and he has his own Instagram where you can follow his everyday life.
All right. Well, yeah, we're going to talk about all the actual links and stuff in a minute. But since, you know, this year, I know things get canceled because of the pandemic, or they get pushed back. But if you can maybe tell us what Pori Sinfonietta has coming up in 2022. And hopefully, if people are interested, they can come and see you perform.
Yes, they should definitely come.
I know for a fact that there is the Moomin Opera is going to be coming in June, I think, because it was supposed to be, what, in January?
Yes, yeah.
But it got pushed back to June because of the corona situation. So I know that's something coming up, but what else?
We have actually a great season with like lots of nice repertoire coming up. I picked now my personal favorites to you what is my personal highlights. So one of my first personal highlights will hopefully be the last week of January. I hope that's going to happen, that concert, because we will play the First Symphony of Prokofiev. and it's called Classical Symphony, and the flutes have a lot to do. There's very, very fast passages, and I have played this piece twice with Pori Sinfonietta already, and it's so hard to play that the first time I was just stressed about it, but the second time I played it, I was like stressed about it, but somehow the fun part of it grew much more. So I'm looking forward that this is going to be the third time, and I hope that now the fun part is growing even more and the stress is going smaller, because I kind of like know it better and I got used to it. And yeah, it's a piece which can be really fun if you just get used to it somehow. So I'm looking forward to that one a lot. In February, we will play Mendelssohn's Third Symphony, which is definitely a beautiful piece also. I highly recommend you get tickets for that one. And then what is one special highlight for me is also that in March we will play Mahler's Fourth Symphony. That's really unusual for us because we are a small, tiny orchestra. So like Gustav Mahler's symphonies, they require lots of instruments. For example, in the Fourth Symphony, there's usually like four flutes, and we have only two flutes in the orchestra. So that's like repertoire which we usually don't play. And in March, we will present an arrangement of that symphony made for a smaller orchestra. So I'm looking forward to that one somehow. Like Mahler always remembers me of like Alps and a little bit like my home area. He got inspired by that a lot, by the Alps, and yeah, so that's a nice one too. And then in May, for the children, in June you already mentioned the Mumi opera, but in May we have another nice project for children, which is Peter and the Wolf. Maybe that's known to most of you.
Oh yeah.
And and that's also full of quite much virtuosic flute stuff. Actually, the flute is the bird in that one, which kind of fits to my topics here again. Maybe that's the reason also I like birds, or the other way around. Maybe that's the reason I chose the flute. I kind of tend to go to the bird flute direction. And and that's going to be the first time in my life that I play that with the orchestra. I have played that in a version for a woodwind quintet before, but never in the actual orchestra version. So I'm quite excited to play that one.
That one, Peter and the Wolf, is one that since I was a little kid, I've seen and heard that a million times, and it's one of my favorites. So yeah. I think I'll be sure to... I might even try to bring Edvin.
Yes. Yeah, you should, definitely.
If I can ensure that he will keep his trap shut.
Ah, yes.
And not disturb the performance, then I think that would be good.
It can be actually quite impressive for the children, because I remember I have been in one performance for the Peter and the Wolf with my half-sisters, which are much younger than me, in Munich.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some kind of like little bit like dangerous moment in that. So they were a little bit almost like a little bit frightened at some point. Also, the music can make quite an impression on the children. So
yeah.
Yeah, but definitely nice season to come.
Great. Well, then what's the best way for the listeners to follow and support you? And Elvis too. What's, you know, how can they? I'm sure he's going to get a whole lot of new followers now.
I think that if you want to come to listen, you should check definitely just Google maybe Pori Sinfonietta, and then you will find the Pori Sinfonietta webpage, and our tickets, I think, are sold through the Ticketmaster. So probably even on Ticketmaster, if you just put Pori Sinfonietta, there should come our events and you can buy a ticket.
Okay.
Elvis on Instagram, you can see him and also me a little bit. His name is, of course, Elvis of Finland. How could it be different? Like Elvis and then this down...
Underscore, yeah.
Underscore.
Elvis underscore of underscore,
underscore Finland. Finland. Yeah, exactly. That was inspired by Tom of Finland.
Yeah,
so okay. I don't know too much about Tom of Finland, but I just got the inspiration from the name there.
And I think there's a direct link in his bio to your page, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you're not very active on your own
really.
Social media.
Not really.
And of course, if people don't understand, Elvis can't actually do his own posts. So if you contact Elvis, you will get in touch with
him. Yes, he's a very busy bird.
You can reach out to Elvis and he'll make sure that the message gets to you.
Exactly. Instead, so. He's my manager.
So, all right. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share? Or?
I want to say to all the people who are learning Finnish out there, like, you are doing great. You took on a big haaste. What is haaste? Like a challenge. You took on a big challenge, and I want to give you a thumbs up and tell you that don't give up, you can do it. It's a really nasty language.
All right, yeah, that's definitely a good pep talk for people out there. Yes, you can do it, and you're doing great.
Yes. Even taking that on is quite a thing. Like, my dad, now that I have such a strong connection to Finland, he lives in Germany, obviously, and he downloaded this Duolingo app. And he started learning like 10 minutes of Finnish every day because he said he might have like Finnish grandchildren one day. Mm-hmm. And so he's interested, and he's interested in languages in general. So he told me proudly that he has been learning like Finnish in over 400 days in a row already with this Duolingo. And it's awesome. Like, he knows like words which I have never heard of. Of course, I speak kind of fluently. I always say I speak fluently with horrible mistakes. So like, but on the other hand, he has like learned so many words through this app. That's maybe a good start for some people.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that you're that from your end, because my dad, he said that he was going to download Duolingo, and I don't know if he ever did or not, but I asked him recently, how's the Duolingo going? And he's like, oh, I haven't really been doing it.
Okay.
So I wish I could get my parents to be more interested in actually learning some Finnish, because now they do have a grandchild.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And even though he's getting exposed to English, he's probably getting a lot more Finnish, because I'm the one who speaks to him in English, but he's getting Finnish from basically everybody else. So if they really want to be able to communicate with him, they should at least learn a few things.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's true.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and
thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Was a really nice experience.
Yeah, it was. Thank you so much. All right, well, thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple or Google Podcasts, and other podcast providers. For more information, follow our Instagram at mastering.finland.podcast, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and keep an eye on our website, masteringfinland.com. Have a nice day, and good luck with your own Mastering Finland story. Bye.